Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life. The process of there will be walked by faith and not by sight, and to the destiny, the call, the purpose of God. We are encouraged in this 15-minute of empowerment to believe God's word, stand on it, and know what he said concerning us is going to manifest, going to come to pass as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we obediently trust and obey his will for us, and we understand that his way is perfect, that no matter what we go through or face, no matter the challenges that we have, as long as we obey the plan and the purpose of God, we're going to come out victoriously. We're going to triumph over the things that try to conquer us. We're going to be the super conquerors that the Bible says that we are, that the Word of God says that we are, and that we know that we are. We stand in awe of God's authority in our life and his power that reigns in us, and that power causes us to triumph even over the things that try to triumph over us. We see the demonstration of God's power like never before, because we become light, we become salt, we become that which is necessary for the world to see that our God lives, that our God reigns, and that he is faithful, and that he is soon to come. He's the Savior of the world, the light of the world, and everyone who ever believes in him and receives him receives every benefit and blessing that is associated with him by his name, by his power, by his dominion, and his authority. So it is a good thing, because God chooses unlikely people, chooses people that would not be chosen by anyone else to do something great for his purpose and his plan. And we depend solely on him, leaning not to our own understanding, but acknowledging him as the God, the Lord, the Savior, the King of our lives. We have been looking at unlikely places of blessing. We started a series that looks at the unlikely places that God will bless, God can bless, and the unlikely places in your life that you might find yourself. But that is a setup, because God uses that place to be a place of blessing, a place of growth, a place of maturity, of stretching, a place where you know him and see him in a greater capacity as you process. God allows you to understand that he can take anything in any situation and bless you and change it and turn it around for his glory. We started off in the book of Esther, seeing her in exile in an unlikely place, seeing the plan of God coming to fold, coming into fruition in her life, that it only not only saves her, but it saves her cousin Mordecai and the whole nation of Israel as it defeats the enemy of Israel inside in a governmental or in a rulership place. We see that she's there to set the order or to command the order of God in the place of government, in the place of power. That would be the place where God would get glory out of. We also looked at Joseph. He was in an unlikely place of blessing, being treated unfairly, being cast into something that he never could have ever comprehended for himself, and not understanding how his life would turn out, but knowing that God had a plan and a purpose greater than where he was. And God used that place to send him ahead of time to save many lives. And God used it to change a nation, because the nation of Egypt was blessed because of Joseph. The nation of Egypt knew the God of Joseph. The nation of Egypt became a blessing to everyone around them because of Joseph. And God used him to save many lives, to save the life of his family that would later become the nation of Israel. We also looked at an unlikely place dealing with character issues, dealing with Jacob. We looked at how God changed him, because God spoke a word, and he spoke the word concerning who Jacob was while he was in his mother's womb with Esau, his twin brother. But yet God uses that to turn around and to change his character and to bless him and to make him the father of the nation that he was going to use and to demonstrate his power. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel, because God's plan for him did not stop because of his limitations, because of his character flaws. That means that God will continue to work on us until we become like him, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. We are being changed to become more and more like him as we allow the word, the will, the power of God to operate in us, to work on us as we trust him obediently. Now we're going to look in at an unlikely place of blessing in the life of David, being prepared for leadership and the trials that David goes through after he's being prepared to do the will of God. So we're going to start up in 1 Samuel 15, looking at verses 10 through 34. And we're going to look at those verses to lead up to how David became anointed, what took place, and the things that we've got to watch out for and learn that we don't repeat, that we don't walk in, that if we're walking in them now, that we change and alter our steps to align with God so that we don't make the same mistakes and be eliminated or even be replaced from doing something that God has called us to do. In the book of 1 Samuel 15 and 34, we see here that Saul is rejected as king. God has rejected him as king. And that means that, let us understand that because of other people's disobedience and unwillingness to change and unwillingness to do it the way that God says, making their own way, doing it their way, especially when they know what God has called and commissioned them to do, God will sometimes allow someone else to be prepared to take their place. He'll allow someone else to be prepared to step in and do what he's called them to do, who has an obedient heart, who trusts God, who believes God, and will obey all that he's telling them to do. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes, but their heart is tender for God, and they yield themselves to God, and they want to please him more than their own flesh or their own will. And God will use people like that because he's going to get glory out of them. So we see that in this chapter, in this verse, these verses, God speaks to Samuel, the prophet, who is the prophet over the nation. And that time, God used prophets to speak to the people, to speak to kings, to give instructions, to even give judgment. And it was not like it was now. It's not about houses and cars. It was talking about the obedience, their posture to God, how they trusted God, any sin in the camp, what God would do for them. He was the voice through the prophet that was being released over the people, the light that was being released over the people so that they could move in the direction of God, always trusting and obeying him. So Samuel, the prophet, is the one that God is using in this time. And he says to Samuel that he's sorry that he ever made Saul king, because Saul has turned his back on him, so to speak, and he's refused to do what God has told him to do. He's refused to follow the instructions of God. He's refused to align himself with the will of God, and he's basically doing what he wills in regards to the kingdom. And it's not his kingdom, it's God's kingdom. They're God's people, and there's certain things that God wills. We may not always understand why God is telling us to do something or allowing us to do something or even allowing something to happen, but we know that all things work together for the good. We know that God's way and his will is perfect. His plan is perfect. So everything that he's doing, because he knows the end to the beginning, and he knows all the in-between, is working according to his purpose and his plan, that it all looks according to what he said. So Saul followed after his own desire, and his own desire was that which was selfish and prideful and justified and full of deception. He also says that he followed, but he also says that he did what the people wanted. So he was a people pleaser and not a God pleaser. He did what the people desired him to do instead of what God said. The voice of the people was louder than the God of his life. And we have to be very, very careful when we allow people to move us out of the will of God, and we're controlled by the opinions of people and how they feel about us more than we are about pleasing God and doing what he says. You will never be able to please people all the time. They'll always have something to say, something negative against you, some kind of complaint about what you said or how you acted or what you did or what they thought you should have done. They don't understand the heart of who you are, the motives behind what you are, because they don't see who you are. God sees you intently, and he knows you. So if he's anointed you and appointed you, if he's breathed life into you and given you the opportunity to serve and love him and know him, he has a plan for you that's greater than anything that man sees or anything that man doesn't like or anything that man can comprehend concerning your walk, your anointing, your obedience with him. He's the one who's begun this good work in you, and he's going to finish it. So as you align yourself with God and you submit yourself, the Holy Spirit will show you the things that he will work on you with. He will show you the places that you need to change, the things that you need to let go. But you ultimately are God's vessel, and he will get glory out of you as you obediently trust and obey him. Samuel goes, and he lets Saul understand that he did not follow the instructions of God. Saul followed up the desires of his own plan, of his own heart, of his own plan, and the desires of the people instead of following the instructions of God to kill and destroy all the Amalekites, all in that city, and that was including the king. He was supposed to kill the king. Samuel was angry with Saul when he found out what he had done, when God said to him and gave him what the results of his obedience was. He was very, very angry with his actions, and he prayed what he felt all night long. That's how angry he was. That's how disappointed he was. He was praying what he felt all night long to God in his heart, and he got up early in the morning to confront Saul. But when he got there, he was told that Saul was at Carmel and that he was building a monument in his honor. And they said in his honor because he was doing this in his honor, not in God's honor. Even though he says that he was commemorating the victory of what happened against the Amalekites, he was not doing this in honor of God. He was doing it in honor of himself because he didn't obey what God said. And we have to be very careful that we obey what God tells us to do and we don't walk in our own way that seemeth right, because there is a way that seemeth right to all men, and at the end there is destruction. The path that we're supposed to take and stay on is the path of perfect will, the perfect will of God. That's what we're supposed to stay. Even when we don't understand it, even when it's hard and it's difficult, even if we slip and mess up sometimes, we're to go back and immediately gird ourselves up with the truth of God and continue to walk in his divine will, his divine purpose and plan, because his way is right. Samuel had pride. Saul had pride. He had pride, and this pride that he had, this haughtiness that he had blinded him with deception. And this deception had taken him over to the place where he believed that he was still in the will of God and he still was doing the will of God, and God still was pleased with him. That there was nothing wrong with honoring himself because he was an honoring God. There was nothing wrong with him honoring himself because he felt like he had done a good job. He had done most of what God said, and that was good enough for him. When it comes to obeying God, there are things that God requires. We must do it his will, his way, and the way he said all the time. We don't get a chance to choose our way. It is God's way, because his way, as I said before, is perfect. His plan is perfect. He's not honoring God, he's honoring himself. And Saul intended to commemorate the victory, because he intended to do all of these things. He intended to just be joyful, and he thought that he was going to get away with doing what he was doing and not following the instructions of God fully. By the time Samuel had caught up with Saul, he had already finished his worship part, his worship service, his act of worship unto God. But how many know that God does not have to accept your worship? God does not have to accept what you send up. If it is not what God wants, if it is not with the right motives and the right heart, if it is not humbly before him, if it is not with a heart that seeks and thirsts after him, that loves him, he does not have to accept your worship, your sacrifice. You can sacrifice all day long, but he's looking at the intent of your heart to see what you're going to do. That's all the time we have for today, for this 15-minute of empowerment. We'll go further into this study tomorrow with this 15-minute of empowerment. And I pray that everything in your life begins to align with the will of God. Start looking at yourself and asking the Holy Spirit, have I done all that God has required the way that he said, or did I do it my way? And as soon as he shows you anything that is out of his will, repent, Repent with a sincere heart. Get back in line and watch God start to begin to bless you, move you, and shape you in the direction that he's calling you. For your life is more than a mistake or disobedience. He has a purpose greater than that. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxton. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow for Favor Life.